This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
Man, you see that game last night?
Dude, how about Clay, dude? I mean, that's what he does.
So what he does. You think they got what it takes to take another one home? Or do you think the Celtics look good enough to put away the Heat tonight and then do some damage?
Man, the Celtics definitely can do some damage. They're extremely talented, but I gotta love the Warriors here. The thing is, with the Celtics, I've doubted them a number of times in this playoffs already. So they've kind of taught me. I mean, I was questioning who was going to close the game, you know, who was going to lead them, who was going to put the team on their back. They've showed each of those things, right? They have that level of star potential in players. They also have the role players. They have, like, all the ingredients for a championship team. The one thing they don't have is a championship, right? And other than that, you'd be like, oh, yeah, this team has what it takes. But since they haven't done that, there's always that question. But, for the Warriors, they look, I mean, I'm not going to say they look as good as they used to look, but they look like a version of that team. So for them, you know, kudos to them. And, you know, we've talked a lot of shit on their front office. They've been able to get the most out of some guys that we doubted they would be, and they're in a position now to get that extra championship that would really solidify them overall. Like, they've been borderline dynasty, but one more chip would go a long way for that argument.
Yeah, and kind of looking at the structures of the teams that are left, well, the team that just got eliminated, you got Luka, who's carrying that load just completely by himself, and it's how difficult that is to see. But on the other side, man, you've got Tatum and Brown, the duo over here. They're picked back-to-back years. Their contracts are going to be close together. They have a long time to be together in the league. Kind of like Westbrook and KD, you know, same type of concept. I look at Josh Giddey, and I look at our pick this year with Chet, man, and I get excited because I could see this as being the duo combo of the future. I'm not saying that Shea and Dort should be knocked out of that conversation, but if we have Josh Giddey and Chet, right, it makes it so that other guys on the team aren't as needed as much. And I know it's bonkers that I'm even bringing this up, but you and I talked yesterday.
Let's talk about that, dude.
Because we talked yesterday into depth, and after we got off the pod, of Dort being traded from Oklahoma City to Portland. And both Mark and I agree, if Dort is expecting to get a max contract and Oklahoma City is not willing to do that, for whatever reason.
For a lot of reasons.
This is the year to trade him.
Like, there's a lot of reasons you don't give Dort a max contract, and those are the young players coming up who are going to need max contracts, right? But
yep.
I think the whole point, like, we keep saying Chet because we really do believe that Orlando is going to go with Jabari, and we do believe we're going to pick Chet. But regardless, right, Chet or Jabari, it doesn't matter. How does this number two pick affect our team going forward? And like you said, one of the first things you look at is you look at some of the older guard like SGA and Dort, and you wonder, like, what is our timeline? How do they fit into it? Yada, yada, yada. But more importantly, let's talk about the Dort thing, right? Portland, like, I guess Lillard liked a tweet that referenced the idea of trading the number 7 pick to get Dort. I think it was also to get Jeremy Grant, so it wasn't exactly like straightforward. But like, if we did get Dort for, say, we traded Dort for the number 7 pick and the 30th pick, I think that's something that's totally within Sam Presti's wheelhouse. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Dort and the 30th for the 7th pick would also be something I'm looking at.
What?
But Mark, let me just say this though. If Portland's going to do that, they're not the only team that's, you know, 4 through 7 that would be like, hey, we want Dort.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Like, So if I'm sitting there with Presti, I'm looking at the pick number four, right, at the Kings, okay? I would be willing personally to trade Dort and pick number 12 to get pick number four.
Okay.
As simple as that.
Okay.
And I know that's going to irk some people. I don't want to trade Dort.
We love Dort.
I think that Dort is a player of the future. But his value and what they're putting his value on at 7 and 12 on that thing is way too high. Like, the Oklahoma City Thunder would be giving way too much up just to move up 5 spots. I don't see that happening. Right. And that's why I look at it. It's either the pick 30th, the 30th pick, and Dort for 7, or it's Sam Presti recognizing that there's other teams that would need Dort and that would do things to get Dort. And moving up to pick number 4 would be unbelievable.
Right.
Like, think about it. To jump the Houston Rockets, I'm sorry, the Detroit Pistons on the pick again would be massive, because then we could be looking at Jaden or Shaden or
right.
whoever we
right.
wanted to at that pick.
Right. And that's what
I
take an undrafted
say,
player like Lu Dort, who has become an incredible player for your organization. But you have a chance to move up and get into the top 5, you know, using the 12 pick and Lu Dort. You kind of have to do that. And it stinks to see
you have to at least
go.
You have to at least sit there and consider it on a serious fucking level.
But the thing is,
like,
the thing to consider,
you can't just
bypass it.
It
might be the best thing for Lu Dort.
And you're so right on that. You're absolutely right. This might, like, if Lu Dort has legit chance to get a max contract, and Oklahoma City is saying we're committing to our young team right now in Shea,
right?
Then you have to look at Dort and say, we love you. We wish we could have worked something out. And if your career doesn't work out the way you want it to, you always have a place to come back to. That's what I would say to Dort. And I would say, where do you want to go? You've given enough to this place. We will try to get you to the closest place possible that you can go.
Right. And look,
like we've done before with all these other guys, we have loyalty. We think you're a great person. And if you want to go to play with Portland, or you want to go to play with Dante Sabonis, we'll make sure that happens.
Look, our preference is always to keep a player like Lu Dort because of
always
like, the values. But if you have a chance to take an undrafted player and move up into the top 5 or top 7, like, you have to take something like that if that comes your way, especially when you're in the organizational life cycle that we are right now. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, this kind of like brings up, like, this pick kind of resets things. And obviously for SGA, like, he's not going to like seeing Dort traded, right? Because it's going to mean that we're not going to be as good this next year as we would be with him. It's going to take whoever we get probably some time to develop. And we could be wrong, but we need to have patience.
And I want to say this. The other thing is, too, I don't think Oklahoma City would trade pick number 12 unless we were getting somebody back like Jeremy Grant.
Okay.
And, like, here's the reason. Is because Jeremy Grant would fit our offense very well. He would go right alongside Shea and everything else we're doing there. If you think about it, he could be a small big man. If he needed to play center, he could. The point is that he's versatile. He's good enough. We could plug him into our offense right away. Yeah, he brings up a pretty decent contract with him. But then again, that would be why we would trade favors out as well. So
I don't think we're going to Jeremy Grant because we're going younger, right?
Well, and that's my point, is that, like, you don't make the trade to Jeremy Grant unless you're trying to win a championship right now for Oklahoma City. And that's not what we're trying to do. So I don't think we're trading that 12th pick.
Unless we can move up.
Unless we can move up into the Kings position. Then I think we're looking at possibly trading that 12th pick. Otherwise, I think we're trying to add another top pick. Because, again, if you have 12 and 7, then you can move up to 4 still.
Right.
You know, like, you still have that ability to do that. So, to me, I there's so many little pieces that, like, I look at this and I say, what is Sam Presti going to do? And it all comes down to the pick, Mark. Like, look at it. If we get Jabari, I'll be so fucking stoked, right? He plugs into that 4 position. He can play a little bit of 5. He can just play some small forward. He can play across that fucking board. Perfect, right? We don't need to change a lot of our team. Dort stays, Shea stays, our team stays intact, right? But if we get Chet, I think we have to seriously look at it as this is the moment to get as much as we can out of Dort, and then let Shea play out a couple years out of his contract, see how he carries the team and being the leader, right? And then you have to reevaluate before he comes up for his end of his contract, because you get more for a player if they get 2 years out of him than 1 year. So that's the type of thing I'm looking at, Mark. Like, I seriously look at the Oklahoma City Thunder is like the ability to stay at this age, right? So now they have 23-year-olds. They have Dort. It's so crazy thinking about this. They have this 23-year-old group, and they're almost too old for this the rest of the team. And it's astonishing because the younger players are looking so good, so strong, and you have to step back and say, if we add Chet, where does this put us? Does this mean that we want to get another top five, top seven pick to add to this team from this year? Because then we can build this team perfectly around Chet, Josh, and Shea.
Right.
And that would be one of those things where it's not that Dort doesn't fit perfectly, because he does. But if he is trying to get that max contract and his agent knows that he could go to Portland, he could go to Sacramento, he could go to blank and get a max contract, don't you think he's going to say, Dort, play it out, man. Just wait. That's what I would be saying, because at this point, you know, Dort has a legit chance to get that max contract from a team that's desperate. So if I'm Sam Presti, I'm saying, Dort, here's your offer. If you don't want it, we understand. If you think you can go get a better contract at Portland and you want to go there, we'll try to get you there.
Right.
I mean, like, because that's who Sam Presti is. You know, this is not a we're done with Dort situation. This is Dort wants max money. He knows he can get max money, and he wants to go someplace else so he can get max money.
And he's earned it. And it's not a surprise for a player like Damian Lillard to look at the roster and say, look, the number seven pick isn't going to help us as much as a player like Dort immediately, and I want to win now. Of course, for Portland, they're looking at it. I forget. Do you remember what number pick Lillard was? But my guess is somewhere between 4 and 7.
I think he was 7, actually,
so
or 6.
My point is they could find another player, right, that could be at the level, like they could restart their franchise. But these aging superstars, they always want the win now, get that guy. So I think for them, for Portland, it would be short-sighted to make this trade. For us, it would be incredible. But it's just something that they brought up. It looks like it could be on the table. And what would that mean for the roster? So we look at our roster kind of like we have this top tier, right? We have whoever we pick at number two, SGA and Giddey. And based on, you know, like you said, if it goes Chet, Giddey could outrank SGA in long-term, you know, plan for this team, depending on things like Dort. But then you have this next group, right? You have Dort, JRE, Trey Mann, and Kenny Hustle. Those guys, to me, kind of like make a group of like sort of our backbone, right? Those are our role players. Those guys have the chance to step up and really take the lion's share of the minutes, along with whoever we pick at number 12 or potentially move up. That's going to be pretty well our top eight, is my guess. And then you have Baze, Poku, and Wiggins that kind of make up that next tier. So when you start kind of like seeing this team make up in front of your eyes, like you're like, well, they're actually, it keeps getting younger, right? It keeps getting younger and better at the same time. The next group is probably like Favors, Roby, and Tao, right? They kind of make up just outside of that primary rotation. But for someone like Roby, he probably starts out in the rotation sooner than Poku, but I don't know exactly, right? It can kind of be interchangeable, but you have Favors and Roby situation where who's going to get the most minutes. I think if you go with Chet, you're going to play Favors more, right? But I think if you end up with Jabari, you might play Roby more. So it kind of ends up those guys are, you know, kind of read and react situation. And then you have Krejci, Waters, and Moose. And I think Moose will get more playing time than that spot. But I think overall, like, his role is basically reduced at this point to the Nick Collison at the end of his career role. He'll have more opportunities than that, but, you know, it's it's a reduced role. So I look at this and I'm just like, I have to kind of think you're right. As much as we, you know, want to keep Dort, if you have a chance to move into the top 10, you know, with him and the 30th pick, like, it has to be a serious consideration, especially in a draft that is this strong. And there's players that could go at number 6 or number 7 that in a normal draft could be top 3 players. And that's where it gets really intriguing. But you start talking about Jaden or Shaden for Dort, like, I can't walk away from that ever.
And I see Shaden or Jaden as being the picks that we would be doing this trade for. As simple as that. Those two guys are guys that would change the trajectory of this team because, again, you're talking about phenomenal athletes. Dort is ready. Dort is ready to average 24 points a game, be one of the best defenders in the league. But it comes back to, is Dort going to take less money to stay in Oklahoma City and be part of this team? If I was a player in the first contract of my life, right, and I thought that I could get $10 million more a year, $40 million more for the entire contract, like, what the fuck, man? Like, that's ridiculous money. You get one chance to make that type of money sometimes. And that's why I would say to Dort, take the fucking money. Use that money. Do something great with it. Put it in a fucking bank and let yourself get $5 million a year per $20 million extra. So, to me, like, this is why it looks like I have to say, guys, take a step back, and I got to really understand exactly where it's going. And I have to say, is Dort is needed on this team for long term if we have Jabari. If we have Chet, then I feel like this is the moment that we would have to seriously look at, because now we're looking at max contracts out our ass that are young players. Josh Giddey, we got Shea, we've got, you know, Chet, whatever, and whoever we get at them are five spot. We have legitimate money that we're talking about, and we have to figure out these guys can win. So you put the ball in Shea's hand to be the closer, and everybody else figure it fucking out. That's what I think that could happen. We could have, by the time it's done, we could have, what, three guys, four guys that are starting under 20 mark in Shea? It's insane.
So you have to ask yourself, like, how many guys can you afford to pay max contracts to, right? And I think in the modern NBA, like, you can't afford to pay more than three guys max contracts. And even that can handicap your franchise. So
yeah,
when I look at it, I'm like, Chet, SGA, and Giddey, like, those are the guys that you put max contracts on.
But then when Giddey's up for his max contract, right, that's the moment that you're looking at Shea and saying, you know, do we need to trade him because these guys are good enough now to win? Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have at least a year from the Josh Giddey contract to Shea. Now, if you add Dort there, man, you don't get that year. You know, like, you don't get that year, because now you're looking at three guys at max contract before Shea goes up. But then you're looking at Chet. Now you're looking at the next guy. And it's just like, we all know that. We all know that this could be crazy, but if Dort comes in at less than $25 million a year, then it allows you to get Shea, Dort, Chet, and Giddey. And it does. And then you can build your team around the rest of the guys.
Right. And those other guys, as we always say, like, their role is to be stars in their roles, you know? And some of those guys are going to be players like JRE, who has many functions depending on the position he plays. Some guys are going to be Trey Mann, who their job is to knock down shots and to defend at a high level. But either way, like, you have to have a mixture. And for a player like Lu Dort, like, you have to seriously consider his value might be at an all-time high. Like, I've seen a lot of people begin the process of talking about maybe he isn't as quite of an elite defender as everybody thinks he is. And I disagree. But overall, he gets a ton of respect for defense, and his scoring may never be as high as it is now, because it was required of him last season in a way it may not be required next season. So this idea that it could be an all-time high value for Lu Dort, you have to seriously take into consideration, like, this is probably the perfect time if the opportunity presents itself I think it could be there. We're not usually, you know, on top of stuff like this. Like, we tend to find out after it happened, but with at least the suggestion from Lillard that this could be the way to go, it has to be something we talk about. And it's something that in prior times we would have been opposed to the idea of trading Dort, but nobody would have ever told me that, like, you could get a top 10 pick for Dort. Like, and like, if somebody had said you can get into the top 7 with Dort, I would have been like, okay, well, I'm willing to trade like Lu Dort for like a franchise changing player, right? He is, in a way, he has been so positive for us, but the idea of getting a 19-year-old athlete who is ranked in the, you know, the top of his class, like Shaden, but he reclassified, like, you don't, that doesn't happen, right? You have to consider those opportunities as worth taking that chance. And
you're taking a chance at a elite player. You're trusting in your system. You're not like throwing out Dort. You're trusting in your system to allow you to find a player that's going to be as good or better than Dort. And that sounds strange to say,
but it's not.
But with Dort, though, think about it. We got to sign him to a max contract or close to a max contract. Then all of a sudden, like, then what? Like, we have no room.
Right.
We have no room to work with to get our extra guys. We trade Dort and we keep that cap space available. And now the only max contract we have on our books for the next 4 years is Shea. It allows us to grow.
Yep. And
and I hate saying it because, like, it, like, I, to me, Dort is the most valuable player on the basketball court when he's out there playing well. Like, defense, hitting down three, or knocking down threes, driving hard. Like, he does all these amazing things. And wherever he plays, if he does get traded, he's going to be an all-star. And it's frustrating to me. But I step back and I have to say is...
You have to ask one question. Dort's ceiling versus the other player's ceiling. That's the question you have to ask.
And you got Shaden and Jaden as the two possibilities at that position. I mean, like, dude. I mean, the other person I have to throw out there is Dyson, too, man. Like those three guys, the guy that played in the G League.
Dyson Daniels, yeah, from Australia. Big fan.
Yeah, those are the three guys that I have to say that, like, if I'm Sam Presti, I'm circling and saying, you know, if I want to trade Dort, I have to get one of these three players. You know, like, I just have to. And I think that's the reality is that, to me, Sam is brilliant. He knows that he doesn't need to listen to yours and my opinions. But he also knows that this is one of those things that you have to stop and look at and say, okay, inside the organization, how is the money? First of all. Second of all, is can we afford to pay him $30+ million a year? Shea, $30+ million a year. And then what? Like, we have enough space with the first round draft picks now that we have to fill out that and pretty much be within like $10 million of, you know, what we're supposed to.
So is it a draft day trade, bro?
I think if we get Chet, yes. I think if we get Chet, it will be a draft day trade. And I think somehow we end up with a number 4 pick.
4 or 5. I just don't.
Well, I don't think Detroit's trading out of 5. If anything, they're going to trade up because they want Jaden more than anything. If we want Jaden over Shaden, we trade up to number 4 somehow. If we want Shaden over Jaden, then we're content with 6 or 7.
Trade up, take Jaden, and then make the Pistons pay an extra pick to get who they want, and we get who we want.
Yep.
Stick it to him, baby. Like, I love it. I think there's a lot to it, man. Like, and when you think about our roster and you think about the direction, and like, I told you this and I know you did too, but we both watched a great video of Chet, like 25 minutes of highlights.
Oh my God,
yes. From his freshman year. I mean, take the time to watch it. Watch the whole thing. Like, you come away with the scope of a player that, like, is legitimately the best prospect I have ever seen. And I remember watching LeBron James play in high school.
The way he runs, right. Like, he doesn't look like a 7-footer out
there. When he puts the ball on the floor, he looks like he could be like 6'4", 6'5", like in his stance. Like, legitimately.
He explodes like it's like, holy shit, what the fuck just happened?
Right. There were so many times where he's blocking shots where players are like, okay, I have a sense for his length, and they think they can get the shot over him, but he hasn't extended, and he hasn't jumped, and
he's baiting it, bro.
And I'm like, you have to go back to, like, the all-time greats from John Wooden or from John Thompson, you know, from UCLA, from Georgetown, those big men, to really kind of get some comps. But, like, it's like you don't really see seven-footers who do these types of things. They usually run straight up. They usually put the ball on the floor where guards can take it from them. They usually don't have the ability to shift from one direction or the other. But he does all these things, and on top of that, like, somehow Orlando's looking at Jabari as a better player. Look, Jabari's special. Jabari could be one of the top five players of his generation. But Chet looks to me like the best prospect in the last 20 years. At least.
Yeah, man. I 100% agree with you on that. 100%. And I think that's what I step back and you know what? Like, I watched a lot of film on this, the workouts that these college guys were doing, Mark. Obviously, Chet wasn't in there. Jabari wasn't in there. But, like, I still, the videos that I see about Chet, it just makes me in wow. Like, I just step back. Like, I don't know, man.
I'm scared that we won't get him. But Jabari is great. I'm not saying Jabari's not great. But I get so obsessed with Chet. I'm like, and it wasn't like this a few days ago. Yeah. But when I watch him play, I'm like if God designed a basketball player on a PlayStation, this is what he would look like. All the way up. Shooting all the way up. Dribbling all the way up. Speed all the way up. Blocks, defense all the way up. Arm length all the way up. Height all the way up. And somehow it actually works.
Yeah. And I think that's what's insane about it. He has that special it factor.
Oh yeah, and that's the other thing, bro. He's ferocious. Like I both knew a 7-foot player who could play some guard in high school. He went to Colorado State University and never sniffed the court. He had a good jump shot. Like, it's not particularly hard for 7-footers to shoot threes, because it's like me shooting on a 9-foot goal. I can extend my range quite a bit when I'm shooting on a lower goal. And like some of these guys, it's like them shooting on an 8-foot goal, me shooting on an 8-foot goal almost. Like, so the question is not whether or not you have form, because 7-footers can have form but not get their shot off. Like, do you have quick feet? Are you light on your feet like a ballerina, bro? And he is. And on top of that, like, do you have competitive fire? Because you cannot just go out there and pretend that. You can't fake that. And if you don't have it, bro, you could have the perfect body and be nothing.
It's the passion. That's what he's got, man. Like, it's just oozing out of him on every single possession. It is. Every single play. Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, when I would get on the court, right, when I was in high school and in college years, right, all the noise, right, with the second I would get on there, whoom. You know what I'm saying? And you see players that are like that, that are able to push out everything that's going on out over here, and they're able to focus on the games. That is what Chet does, and it's truly crazy, because everywhere Chet went this year, packed out stadiums to see Chet. And he was able to take all this noise and just focus and put it into the passion of the game. And, dude, it was insane. What a crazy year. Also, dude, you've got to go back and watch the film on Shaden from the draft combine.
Okay.
Have to. It is insane. Okay. Shaden just went off. And I think that's the thing about it, is that if you're sitting there at that position, on the picking position, and Shaden's available, like, he could go number 4.
Yeah.
He's that stinking good. Like, he dominated. I mean, he looked like, really, he looked like a miniature Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah.
it was insane.
Dude. And he's a ferocious finisher. That's the thing. Like, you combine, you know, what he can do with his jump shot and that. So, yeah, I mean, this is a time of transition for our team. And we can try to guess, but we're going to be wrong most of the time. But overall, like, watching this team kind of, like, recreate. And I saw there's something Josh Giddey said in an interview where he said their goal is to make the playoffs. I have no doubt that in the locker room that was agreed upon. Like, this wasn't like Josh Giddey decided to say it and everyone's like, oh, shit, why did he say that? Like, their goal is to make the playoffs next year. And that would represent a massive step forward for this team. And in doing that, they would solidify themselves as, like, not an easy game. I don't think anybody who plays them likes playing the Thunder because they're hard games. But you start winning more games than you're losing, and then you start earning respect. And, I mean, I really do think that this team can do it.
I want to throw a prediction out there, by the way. This next year, we are going to have the best defense in the league, hands down.
All right.
I mean, there'll be some people that would be like, well, it could go either way, this team or that team. But the Thunder are going to have the best defensive team in the league. If you look at what Coach D has done, you look at Sam Presti and the people that he's put around Coach D, the way that our defense stepped up last year and minimized the fast break points, like, these are things that are going to matter in the long run. And the prediction is that our defense will be the best in the league, allowing us to have people like Shea or Chet or Jabari or whoever else is on the team to dominate. Because the reality is that if we have the best defense in the league, that puts us up 20 points on most teams.
Man, I get excited. I look at it. I look at our depth. It's something we saw all season, even though, you know, we saw a lot of injuries. We really did get to see how deep our team is. But you look at the top of it, and you're like, there are some opportunities here for players to make a jump. If Dort does, in fact, go, think about what that means for other players, like a player like Trey Mann or Aaron Wiggins. There's a huge opportunity for those guys to step up and be the de facto leaders defensively on this team. And when that becomes your calling card, it becomes your meal ticket. And you can buy a lot of nice stuff. You can buy houses. You can set up retirement for your family. But you've got to show that you care about stopping the basketball more than anything. And these guys have that opportunity because of the Thunder and the next man up opportunity has shown all through last year, and it's time to put it on display. We don't have Chris Paul, but this team is still legitimately a team that can surprise people and get into the playoffs.
Yeah, and if we get in the playoffs, man, it's not going to be fun for another team to have to play us in a 7-game series. I made it pretty clear. I feel like we're going to be top six in the West. I kind of feel like if that's how we go, then it's going to make it really difficult for a team to be like, oh, yeah, we're so stoked to play the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round. Because if you look at it, it will be probably like a team like Memphis or a team like the Mavs or a team like that that matches up really horribly against us. And it would be great to have a 7-game series in that.
Yeah, and going from the number two pick to the top six in the West, that would be a pretty amazing transition.
It's what Memphis did, so it can't be like that difficult.
Yeah, I mean, I think they had a year in between at least, but like,
well, didn't they have like pick 8 or something like that last year?
I forget what they got last year, but yeah, you're probably right. But
it doesn't matter.
Like, it's an opportunity, and we keep looking at this, and we're just like, we can't believe like what's happening before our eyes, like the way this team is being built. Being basketball junkies for a lot longer than the Thunder have been around, like, you don't see teams built this way. You don't see contracts given out. You don't see long-term thinking. You know, you always see reactionary. And we're sitting here being like, you know, what would be the perfect move in this situation? And then you have to kind of consider it. Whereas, like, a lot of teams, you have to think about, like, what would be the boneheaded move to make? And then you have to think, like, they're probably going to make it. Like, We're sitting here in awe and just wondering, like, what could happen next. But the idea that this team could go through another transition and be better without having really given up any of our assets, that's inspiring and that's exciting. So we're looking forward to that. We hope everybody has a great holiday weekend.
And You're right, by the way. Yes, last year's 17th pick was the Memphis Grizzlies. Trey Murphy is who they picked between 16 and 18, who we picked Alperen Sengun, and we sent over to Houston, and Trey Mann, obviously, at 18. But thanks a lot for that.
Yeah, I think we got another pick coming up, too, in the future, right? Or maybe I'm wrong about
that. We got two from the Sengun
okay. Pick. Right, right. So yeah. Pretty fucking awesome, and that's the type of stuff we love about draft day, Sam Presti, getting in the middle of it, building out assets, and getting the players he wants. But we're going to stay on top of it. You know, coming back, you know, we're going to be in June, bro. And pretty much, like, I'm thinking, like, June's the month of the draft, bro. So this is going to get fucking wild really fast.
Yeah, it will.
So we're definitely pumped up. We appreciate everybody joining us. And Dave, you want to take Monday off, or are we going to do Monday? It's a holiday, bro.
Man, let's do Monday, because we got nothing else going on.
All right, cool. So we'll see you guys on Monday. Thanks for joining us. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.